Next up, we have conditional use 2310, the Milton Community Pantry Incorporated.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR General Residential District for a food pantry to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 0.96 acres more or less. The property is lying on the west side of Union Street Extension, which is Route 5, approximately 0.24 miles south of Reynolds Pond Road, which is Sussex County Route 231. The 911 address is 12898 Union Street Extension, Milton, and the tax parcel ID is District 235, Map 7, Parcel 18.00. Submitted into the record, Madam Chair, we have a copy of a video received from the applicant, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the DELDART review letter, a copy of the applicant's proposed conditions and the applicant's proposed findings of fact. We have a copy of a letter received from the Mayor of the Town of Milton, and I would note that in total we have received 19 letters in support, along with a petition with 341 signatures in support. I would note that of those 19 letters, though, one or two of them may be duplicates, so they appear to be duplicates. But in addition to that, we have also received an additional petition with 35 signatures in opposition. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I have the applicant's video available on our website if the commission were to put it up on the screen. So.
Is there anyone here representing this application?
Good evening, members of Planning Commission. My name is Tim Willard, with an office here in Georgetown, Lewis and Rehoboth. I don't speak as quickly as Mackenzie does. So bear with me.
See how things have gone tonight.
She's younger than me, a lot. No, it's my honor to represent this applicant. It's the Milton Food Pantry. With me here today is Donna Morawski, who's the president, Lawrence Bivens, who's vice president, and Barbara Bobby Hemmings, who's the treasurer. And these people have been working in this nonprofit. It is a nonprofit, basically, whose mission is to combat hunger in that northeast area of Milton. And unfortunately, they're pretty busy, but they provide a really vital service, and they have for some time. I think the best way, well, let me just do a little legal stuff first. This is a conditional use application in a GR district for the general section in that section for which it fits. It's a food pantry. I did look at the opposition petition, which there might be, hopefully they'll be a little more educated tonight about what it is. It's not a soup kitchen, it's a food pantry. And Donna may speak a little bit more about the operation. There's a fair amount of material that was given to you, the narrative about the history of it, the operation, and the video. I think perhaps best I'll take Mr. Whitehouse up on his invitation to play the video. It's very short, it's like 2 minutes.
It's a good video.
You've already seen it then, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's helpful.
Audio.
I don't know how loud this is. There we go.
My name is Lawrence William Bivens Sr., and I'm the Vice President of the Milton Community Food Pantry.
My name is Donna Morawski, and I'm the President and Executive Director of the Milton Community Food Pantry.
My name's Barbara Hemmings. Everybody at the pantry calls me Bobby. My role right now is I'm treasurer, as well as a volunteer, and I keep pretty much all the statistics.
The food pantry got started like most things get started, from a dream. One night, one of the ministers in our town of Milton had a knock on the door about 11:30 at night. A woman came to the door and was saying that her and her children had not eaten in over a day. So the minister went to her own pantry, took out all that she could give them. And the next day, that minister talked to two members in her church who had already been thinking about starting a pantry.
We help approximately 1,200 to 1,500 families every year by providing food. 2021, we provided food for 5,000 individuals and a total of about 60,000 meals for the year. The funding for the food pantry comes mainly from donations from individuals in the area that hear about us through various media, and also local corporations that are in town and in Sussex County. Recently, we have started getting grants to supplement that money, and we have been able to buy extra food, more fresh produce, and things like that with this extra funding.
The distribution process is a lot of work, takes a lot of volunteers, but we all love doing it. On the day of distribution, we have our walkie-talkie system, and as cars come in, they let us know how many in the family, and then we have people in the building bringing out those bags that were packed the other day, and then it's distributed to them.
Well, the mission of the Milton Community Food Pantry is to help alleviate hunger in the Milton and surrounding areas. So if anyone knows of anyone who needs our services, or they need our services, whether it's temporarily for maybe a few weeks or months, or if it's something permanently, please, please contact us. The phone number for the pantry is 302-278-9557. You can call any time of day or week, and someone will answer or get back to you as soon as possible.
We know that it's very hard to say that you need help, but if you need help with food, please contact us.
I'd like everybody to know that if you need help, come to see us. We're here to help. Si necesitas ayuda, estamos aquí.
I think that's it. Just as to where the property is, and I don't know if you can pull up the aerial, it's just north of, I don't know if you can back out at all, but it's just north of Milton on Union Street Extended. And that's 16 down there at the bottom, you can see. It's in a GR district. As GR district recognizes residential, business, commercial, industrial uses when purposes of this chapter are more fully met for purposes of a conditional use. And you just heard the conditional use purpose, which has been read to you by Mackenzie, and you probably can say it in your sleep. But I think one of the things that really it emphasizes public or semi-public use for the welfare. So we're not asking for townhouses here. This is more in line with that, I think, although we have in the past, right? So I think it's appropriate. I'd like to maybe call Donna up here. There's a, if I could, to ask her some questions, just reference the procedure and the history of it. Donna, you can stand over here and probably take your mask off. And just state your name and where you're from for the record.
Donna Morawski. I live in Milton.
And you and others in your organization prepared a brief history, which has been submitted to the commission. Maybe you could just summarize that for them. Obviously, Lawrence talked about how it started in Goshen with the ministry, but about where the location was first and where you went to and why you're asking for this location.
Okay. Well, in 2014, we started at Goshen Hall, which is part of Goshen United Methodist Church. And the pantry has been there until 2020 in October, when Goshen Church decided to sell the hall, and we had to vacate the premises. But through that, all our clients would sit there in the hall, 35, 40 families at a time, waiting in line for the food, and that was just the way it had been done. When COVID hit, things had to change for us drastically. We had to move to a drive-through model of distribution. We went to the town at that point. We distributed food in the municipal parking lot across from the library in Milton, and we were able to get an emergency partnership with the Food Bank of Delaware because we weren't able to get any food at that point on our own. All our food rescue resources dried up. Food was being purchased and was not coming in consistently. So we were able to get these boxes. We would carry them from our homes to the parking lot and distribute them from our cars in the parking lot. And then whatever was left over, we would put back in the cars and bring back to our homes for the next time. And we did that from April until October. And we were able to do it without missing. We missed, I think, 1 week until one distribution while we were setting things up. But we were able to continue to give out food during that time. Then we moved back to Goshen Hall, but we moved through a drive-through, again, model. We had, Goshen Hall has no parking, so we used the church parking lot. We had walkie-talkies set up. We had the cars lined up at the church, and we would send one or two cars over at a time to the hall where they would come in, register, we would pack the car up and they would leave, and then we'd call two more cars.
Let me interrupt you for a second. Approximately how many cars were you serving at that time?
At that time we were serving, I'd say, probably about 40 to 50 families. Okay. But a lot of it's a little bit misleading because a lot of our families do carpool, or they pick up for other family members or neighbors who can't pick up at that time. So it's much, you know, it's fewer cars at the time, maybe 50 families, but it might be like 30, 39 cars. And we also deliver to a few people who can't come.
And where did you move to after Goshen?
When Goshen decided to sell their hall, we moved to the Water's Edge Church, and that's in the outskirts of Milton on 16 and Reynolds Road. And they allowed us to use their facility for, which was wonderful, for packing, storing, and distributing from. And that worked out very well until now. They have been doing construction themselves, and they're demolishing the buildings that we're using. So
Just FYI, they're moving to a new church on 16. We were just before Board of Adjustment. That's where Water's Edge is going.
So we are still able to use the parking lot, but we don't have the buildings to store anything. So we're working out of two storage pods. We have food stored at food and refrigerators and freezers stored in all our volunteers' homes in their garages right now, which is kind of a hardship because on distribution days we have the volunteers have to all gather together, pick up all the food, bring it to the church parking lot, and we pack it from there, and it's all done outdoors. The packing is done inside a storage pod, which has been very hot this summer so far, and the kitchen staff who packs all the fresh and frozen produce, they're working out of a gazebo with a dirt floor.
And everybody that works on the project is volunteers?
Yes, we are all volunteer. We're a 501c3.
How many volunteers do you have approximately?
Well, on the distribution days, we have probably about 12 or 13 volunteers. I'd say altogether, we have about 24
okay.
volunteers.
And if you see the, is it possible to pull up the site plan? I'm looking at Jesse.
He is the control system.
Oh. Jesse, by the way, was a great deal of help for me just getting you this stuff. Mr. Robertson's laughing at me. It's not as easy as it looks to push buttons. Yeah, so there's the site plan, and that's on, maybe you can describe what's, or maybe I can just to move along. The house is right in the middle of the horseshoe there. The two accessory buildings close to the rear of the property, they're there now. You can see that one other larger building along the horseshoe, that's a plan, if they do get this conditional use, to be a storage facility for dry goods, cans, and things like that. Otherwise, Donna, is it correct that you will use the main house for storage for food and preparation for the boxes?
Yes, the main house will be used for the fresh food and frozen foods for preparation and packing on distribution days. There's also two bedrooms there. One of the bedrooms will be used as a small office for us.
And the other one for storage?
Yes.
So mm-hmm. It's just a small rancher with two
right.
bedrooms and a kitchen.
The outside will remain the same. We're not planning on changing anything other than making it look a little cleaner and nicer. The inside, we're just going to redo the kitchen because it's old, and the bathroom, and break out the wall between the kitchen and the living room to make it an open concept.
Let's talk about let me ask you this. How do you get your food? Because I think some of the opposition was concerned about big trucks coming in there and delivering. Can you just tell the commission how you get the food that's donated?
Okay.
Or do you buy it at stores or what?
Well, right now we do get some boxes. We still get boxes from the Food Bank of Delaware. We still have that partnership with them. We, as the volunteers, go there to the food bank, and we pick up the 72 boxes, the pallet of boxes. We load it onto our trucks, and then we bring it back and store it. And right now it's being stored in a pod and at Water's Edge.
What kind of trucks?
Ford pickup truck. Okay. Like a
not big truck.
No, not a big truck at all. If we had this facility, those boxes would be stored in that whole building. We also have volunteers that go to Food Lion to 3 days a week, and they rescue food there. Food Lion would donate, you know, food that's either being discontinued, getting out of date, or whatever. So, and they come, they have SUVs or small cars even, and there's usually one, two, maybe three volunteers at one time. And they would come, go through all the food in the house, just to get rid of what's not good or won't last till the distribution. They freeze the meat immediately, they freeze the bakery items immediately, and then the produce is the question because it can be iffy. Whatever produce we don't use, we take either to Casa San Francisco or we take to the Home for the Brave so that it can get used by somebody. And then we have a volunteer who takes some to her chickens and takes some to her for her compost. I personally shop with some of the other volunteers for all the canned goods. So, and those are, again, my husband has a pickup truck, a Ford pickup truck, and we usually will go in one or two trips with that and go to stores like Walmart, Byler's, Dollar Tree, wherever we can get the best bargain, the best buck, for a buck.
Very good. And Mr. Whitehouse, there was another site plan that actually showed vehicles, sort of the size of vehicles in the horseshoe. I don't know if you can see that one. It's really the same as that.
It was in the supplemental
revision
packet.
Or something, maybe it says.
Or well, the packet.
You can go back to the site plan. The point was just that as far as the flow of traffic, I wanted to show.
Right. What we liked about the property is that they had the horseshoe driveway there already, and it would kind of fit our drive-through model of distribution.
And you indicated they had 40-some families that you had, but you've indicated earlier, I think, in what you submitted, that it's more like 12 or 13 cars or 15.
The most we've done kind of like a little traffic study thing on our own, and the most we have, we did in 15-minute increments, and the most we really have are 10 to 12 cars at one time, and we think that they would fit into that driveway, driveway.
And it's your plan, and it's part of the conditions I'll speak to later, just have one distribution day between 9 and 1 in the afternoon on Mondays?
Right.
9 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon?
Correct. And usually we figure, you know, most people are at work by then and children are at school, so it wouldn't be interfering with the traffic flow or anything. Also, our clients have kind of learned from using Water's Edge that they have to line up a certain way. They can't make a left turn into it. They can't make a left turn out. And they follow, you know, those guidelines.
And in that particular
guidelines.
Design, the northern section will be the entry only, and you exit out of the other entrance.
Correct. And we have volunteers at both entrance and exit that help look, you know, watch out for the traffic and guide the cars in and out. Safely.
And you post times on your website to notice people when they can come?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And anybody new, we give out a little information sheet that has all of our information on it.
Very good. They may have some more questions for you. Unless you do now, I'm going to ask her to sit down, and then I'll go through some other things if I could.
That's fine.
Donna, you can have a seat then.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You have permission to sit down. There, I have also the maps that I submitted of the comp plan and a zoning map, which the point of the comp plan is this is a developing district just because the proximity.
Jamie, it should be in the applicant exhibit on the file.
But it is in a developing district, which, as you all know, calls for mixed use, and I've expressed that in the proposed findings that it falls in line with what would be in a development.
That's the applicant's photographs. That's the video. That one. Thank you.
in particular, the developing district reads in your...
There we go.
Is that the first one you have? Or is it? Yeah. And
It's really okay if it's all right with the commission.
It's in the record. It's just
saved. No, but I'm feeling bad. Mackenzie had A, B, C, D, and this. She didn't pull them up, though. I'm trying to, yeah. But, I mean, it's in your hard copy as well. Developing district, as you know, these areas are generally near municipalities and are suited for a variety of uses, including business and commercial. So that's the point on that. And in the zoning district, I think GR also gives latitude for such conditional uses specifically. You also have a lot of letters in support. No need to go through each letter. Some of them are from authorities, church. There's from churches, but also the mayor in town. I can go through all of them, but if you take my word for it, you can look at them. I had 314 petitions signed, and I think some volunteers are here tonight. On the service evaluation, there was no TIS. It's kind of interesting that what they say, based on our review, we estimate the above land use will generate fewer than 50 vehicle trips in an hour. I'd be surprised if they have that in a week, but that's how they are on the side of the heavy load. But if it's a conditional use, and then they say the impact would be negligible, we're projecting just that one day it'll be busier because people are coming in. Otherwise, they have four or five volunteers maybe coming, not every day, every other day, and taking care of business as far as loading and working. They own this property, because so they bought it. If you don't approve it, they'll have to make other plans, I'm sure. But they have also applied for a site plan with DelDOT, and they're working with DelDOT, and they still have to do other improvements. But they have, and I think I submitted this too as a supplemental. Don't look for it, Jesse. You got it?
We have it. Yeah.
Right, but what, yeah, good. But you know, it specifically says some of those plans are to improve the entrances and to make one entrance and one exit and have signage that this isn't, that you can't enter here in the left turn. So you know, they've made some progress. DelDOT seems favorable to it. I have some photos too, unless that's going to be a nightmare to pull up. Maybe we can look at that.
Those were the easy ones to find.
You sure?
There we go.
We'll go through them pretty quickly. There's Bobby. Don, why don't you stand up and go through what these are?
Okay, that's Bobby registering the clients. Again, the clients do not get out of the car. She registers them and puts them in the computer. She knows the clients by seeing them drive up. She knows their cars even already. So it's pretty quick. So she registers them. We find out sometimes there's two families. We even have some. We'll have four or five families in one car, and trying to fit all that food in there is a nightmare. But so then we put a little post-it on the window of how many people in each family, and then the car moves up to the next spot, and we put the food bank boxes in, and then according to the number of people in the family, we have pre-packed bags of canned and dry goods. So the volunteers bring that out to the car and they pack the cars. So again, the clients do not get out of the cars. It takes maybe about, depending on how many families are in the car, I'd say it takes about 3 to 6 minutes from registration to exit. It really has moved fairly quickly. We have it really down to a science, I think. And
so maybe we can go through
any other pictures.
Yeah, we'll go through them pretty quickly. Just
typically
mention
what we would pack, and you see like the first one says 5A, so a family of five would get the bags for 5A and 5B, and they're all pre-packed and numbered, and then the volunteer that's doing this will load them into the cart when the car pulls up, and usually they're waiting for the car to pull up ready, and they pack it in either the trunk or the back seat, wherever the client wants it packed. And then they move on to the kitchen area, and then the kitchen packs the fresh and frozen foods, and they get meats, they get some dairy, they get produce and bakery items. Again, by the size of the family, and the volunteers bring that out, and that's the last thing that they get, and then they're on their way out. And we use these little carts, these all-terrain kind of carts, and again, see, they're waiting to pack the cars up.
This was at Water's Edge?
Yes, this is at Water's Edge. And that's what we're using right now, the storage pod. That's where we have some of our boxes. And that gazebo is where the kitchen volunteers are packing all the fresh food, the produce, and the meats. The meats right now we have in coolers. We had to go out and buy coolers. And that's me packing in a 90-degree day inside the tin can.
It's like a hot box, yeah. You cook chicken in there.
And we have, you know, we're working out of everybody's cars. We have volunteers who have the pickup trucks. They put the tailgate down, so we have extra extra space for tables.
Well, that's just the video.
That's it. Well, thank you, Donna. You can have a seat. So I just have a couple more things, unless y'all have questions. In the opposition letter, and there was a letter, and then a petition with people. I think a large amount of them are the neighborhood behind there, where they speak of it's the people who have signed the petition oppose a soup kitchen. This isn't a soup kitchen where people go and. I think of that as where you go and would eat, right? And
yeah.
Have people stay. I think you got the clear picture there. So there may have been some misunderstanding about that. The house will only be used to pack fresh and frozen foods for distribution. One of the rooms will be used as an office. They have some concern about safety and traffic on the street. Rightly so, there'll be a little bit more intense activity out there on the Mondays afternoon, but after that, there's not much going on. And I think they have it well managed. Reference what they want to do, especially with the horseshoe, you can fit almost 12 cars in there. Our clients will not be allowed to make left turns to enter the food pantry during distribution. They will be directed to enter the driveway by making a right-hand turn. They did this actually in Goshen, down in Water's Edge, which is a lot more intense area, and they were able to manage people not taking left turns. And they can communicate with them also on staggering the time when people arrive and things like that. I was told they had probably 10 to 15 cars. The clients are currently using protocol at our distribution, Water's Edge, I just said that. The whole driveway can accommodate 10, 12, I said that. And there will only be one entrance and one exit. They'll have, especially on delivery days, they'll have people out, you know, on the road if necessary. And they want the outbuildings for storage. There are no oversized delivery trucks. There are not going to be any night deliveries or anything like that. You heard most of the deliveries come from them picking things up in their own cars and delivering them there. So it just seems to me, based on what the opposition represented, that they might not have the big picture here. So I've submitted proposed conditions. The site will be the home of the Milton Food Pantry. The property shall be improved consistent with the site plan. Volunteers may work on site to collect, store, and distribute food. On-site delivery to clients will only take place one day weekly between the hours of 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. I've indicated that an additional day weekly may be added after 6 months of operation if merited. Obviously, if the need grows, they would like to have that option. Give some time to see if things work out okay, too. That's why we put that in there. During delivery times, all vehicles must be located on site. The entrance will be subject to DLDOT approval. They're already in that process and have the conditions. Lighting shall be inward facing, only one lighted 2-foot by 3-foot sign all in the building. And the final site plan will be subject to review for you all. I've included proposed findings, which speak to the comp plan. And the developing district, I think, speaks to this. I've already quoted that language. GR says conditional uses can be used for business, commercial, industrial. And most importantly, the conditional use generally purpose, because that's what they all refer to you. And that refers to public and semi-public characters, is essential and desirable for the general welfare. So I think the application is appropriate. It's a nice location for it. The food pantry wants to be good neighbors to anybody across the street or behind them. It's not a really intense use, and I think it's important for the area. And I think it's important to get these families back on their feet, not make this just their, you know, constant way they get food. So, and I think that's an important thing for the county as well. So I don't have anything else. If you have any questions for me or Lawrence or Bobby.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Mr. Mears, do you have any questions?
I didn't see a sign on the site plan. Do you want a sign?
I think I just noted a condition be one sign on the building itself.
Okay, I heard you say that. I was referring to one out by the road.
I don't think that's necessary, or unless the commission does.
No, if you don't, we don't.
But do you have directional signs for the traffic?
There will be, and in fact, that DelDOT letter that...
Yeah, it's on there.
Yeah, there's an in and out.
One way in and do not enter.
And do not enter, no left turn, yeah.
All I have.
First of all, I just want to say thank you, all of your volunteers and for the group that's here tonight. What a wonderful service you're providing. And I'm sure it's probably more like a full-time job for you. But I was reading the conditions from DelDOT. It sounds like you're going to be required to do improvements on the entrances anyways, as far as widening the two horseshoe entrances. So it's going to, if anything, make it better. So I don't have any questions.
Mr. Hopkins?
So on that, the entrance in the roadway, I guess it looks like you have room if you needed to widen those roads. If people come rolling in, instead of getting 12, if all of a sudden 18 come in.
Yeah, and as Ms. Wingate noted, that the entrance has to be widened, so that is possible.
In the DelDOT letter.
What's the speed limit out there?
50.
It is 50. And you somewhere along the line, you talked about traffic control or people, you know, doing something with traffic.
Well, during delivery days, they have more people for obvious reasons. And what they were doing at Goshen and more so in Watergate's, because it was kind of tight, is they would have somebody at the entrance in case it did get too busy. You know, they send people away, quite frankly, and they have to come back. So that's what I meant by that, and that's what they've indicated to me that they've done down at Water's Edge. Here they have much more room.
Have more room here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because of the horseshoe, the way you described it, there's a whole lot more room.
Oh, Water's Edge was just a little
parking
church
lot.
Right in town. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just picturing the first of all, I like Holly was saying, you know, it really is a... very gracious of all the workers, you know, to look out for you know, and to serve the way you know you all are serving. I'm just want to make sure that we think through the whole traffic getting cars in and out on a 50 mile an hour. You know, we don't want to have somebody get rear-ended or whatever trying to get in and get out, and you know, the folks that are out there trying to make sure that takes place, they don't get hit either. Trying to, you know, take care of traffic control, that would be a little bit of a concern, as opposed to being in town where the traffic's moving slower and maybe you have a larger parking area, kind of like any kind of a commercial facility where or a church, you know, where you're you know, you don't have that speed problem.
Can I say something?
Unfortunately, we've looked in town for about a year and a half and have not found anything that we can afford, for one, and anything that's large enough. There's very few things that are available that are commercial to begin with. I know we looked at the Quillen place, we looked at Atlantic Plastics, we looked at the what used to be the old bank on 16. I mean, there's just, you know, those were things that maybe we could afford, and they just weren't big enough for us. But I just wanted to say that it is very open there, and the volunteers, if they're standing on the edge of the property, they can see left and right if there's any traffic, and that's just the way we had done it, even on 16 coming out of Water's Edge Church, and it worked fine. We didn't have any problems, but
well, it looks like you have like room to expand your, if you needed a larger parking area or something, just don't want to have 6 or 7 or 12 cars and then all of a sudden somebody else is, you know, trying to get in there and get food and they end up stopping along the road. Is there much of a shoulder on that road?
They're making, if you look at the DelDOT letter, they're making them widen it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on both sides, for the entrance and the exit.
Sounds good.
Okay. You're right that whole bottom portion is open.
Yeah.
And it's hard ground.
So if that was a problem, you got room to expand your parking.
Yeah.
But you said that you are able to schedule people so that not everybody shows up at the same time, or you?
I mean, that is something that we can do.
And they're repeat. Generally speaking, it sounds like it's repeat.
Yes, some people come every time. Right now, we're only distributing twice a month because of the, you know, the number of volunteers that we have and the location and how difficult it is.
So
but we're
problem.
Hoping to go once a week. And some people come every time, and some people come maybe once a month, and some people just come when they need it. So it kind of varies. But
so you can also help educate them that if if there's traffic, they got to keep rolling and circle back around in 10 or 15 minutes or something.
Right.
Or don't everybody come at 9 o'clock. Yeah, they stagger times.
And I mean, if we had to, Water's Edge has still agreed to let us use their parking lot for overflow, and we can just call people over when we have the room, you know, in the our driveway.
I didn't have any other questions. Thank you very much.
Just a question on operational, and maybe it's in the information, I missed it. So when, and she might know the answer more than you. Just in terms of, you know, like with the, you said that people come sometimes every week, you know, different weeks. Is there a sign up, or is it open to the public? How does it work?
It's basically open to the public. We have a Facebook presence, we have a website, and now we're on Instagram. And it's just a lot of it's word of mouth, and some people will bring their neighbors the next time, you know, and whatever. So we don't limit it. You know, they can come every time if they want. They can come just once a month. It doesn't really matter to us. Whatever they need is what we're.
It just seemed like it's so well managed that you almost sort of know who's coming before they get there, which I think, you know, seems like it.
Well, we always know the first 4 to 5 cars are always the same, and we can predict that.
Yeah. No, I was just more than anything curious about that. So yeah. Thank you.
I mean, that's another thing. We can try to go to appointment times, or at least give them an hour, you know, like you six people will go, you know, from 9 to 10 or whatever. But
so it sounds like it's like prepackaged, yeah, like if it's family of five or family of four, family of three, is that?
The canned goods are prepackaged. It's the fresh and frozen and produce that's packed on site. And we will pack ahead a little bit. We will pack, like we'll have a one, a two, you know, one all the way through, like a six or an eight, again, anticipating, you know, the first four cars that we're going to have. And so as soon as that one is gone, then they'll pack another family of one, or they'll pack, you know, if the six is gone, they'll pack another family of six.
It's not like they're coming in and shot and like picking the things they want. You control that.
Right. Yep. Unfortunately, we can't do that. And when COVID hit, like that really went out the window. Any kind of choice. Like they used to come in and pick a little bit of what they wanted, or, you know, but it, again.
So how much of your, the grocery bill, if you will, is donated versus how much do you have to take dollars and purchase?
Do you know? Well, okay, we spend about $3,000 each distribution, right? Or
we get four.
Yeah.
A week.
Every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
But again, if we went weekly, it probably would be close to that.
That's $75,000 to $100,000 a year.
Yeah, I think right now we've been spending. Up before all the prices went up. Now it's been spending about $40,000
a year. And then is about that much donated?
Yes, pretty much. This year we were lucky. We got a grant for $40,000 from Christiana Care for food. But we will get. You know, we've always had enough money for food, and now we have a little bit more. So now I can go to Produce Junction and I can buy fresh. Fruits and vegetables to add to it, because what we get from Food Lion is wonderful, but it's just inconsistent. You know, some weeks we'll get like 100 dozen eggs, and then other weeks we'll get no dairy at all. Or, you know, so it's just really, it depends on the seasonal visitors and how much they buy and what's left over.
And if I may, Food Bank also gives prepared packages, is that correct?
They give we get an emergency box from them, which is a USDA box, and it has your basics in there, like several cans of vegetables, several cans of fruit, peanut butter, cereal, oatmeal, things like that. There's maybe about, and it varies. Last time we got only half a box, so it had maybe 14 items in it. And sometimes it'll have up to about 19 or 20 items in it. But it's just kind of what we get at that time, and we don't pay for that. That's part of the USDA program.
You work off of donations as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just interested. Like, what if you've gotten? Would you say 40 or 50,000 from?
40 from the.
Yeah.
This is the first year
that. How much is like non-governmental donations are you getting?
You know, it's I'm kind of remiss because one exhibit I had, if I had lettered them like Mackenzie, I wouldn't have missed it, but is a series of articles in the last 4 years from the Cape Gazette, and maybe some of you looked at it if you looked at the hard copy.
Okay, right.
But a handful or half of those were all about press releases from donations from, and I'm not going to name them all, but local businesses. You heard Christiana Care, just different businesses that had donated in the past, plus churches donate as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there's some income coming in as a regular basis, as annual donation.
And we do get individual donations every month. We have some people that donate consistently every month. We really don't have any money from the government right now, any donation, you know, any grants or anything from that. We are applying to the USDA rural grant right now, but nothing. It's just banks and corporations and things that we've gotten some money from. And civic organizations, you know, have been donating to us as well.
Yeah, and in the record are a lot of pictures of people handing them checks and stuff over the years, and they've been around for a while.
So in like the house, that was donated money or somebody donated the house?
Again, it's been a collection of money over since 2014. I think around 2017, we started thinking that we were outgrowing Goshen Hall and we couldn't stay there any longer. We needed to find a place of our own. Some of the donations were are earmarked for food only. Some are not. Some are earmarked for that. We started this building campaign, and some were earmarked for that. And we did get some grants towards the building, and we were able to pay for most of it.
Great.
So it was a successful, if you would, capital campaign. Plus, I better say the right bank, County Bank or Community?
What?
What bank was it that we worked with for the settlement? County Bank?
Oh, County Bank, yes. County Bank has been very supportive.
They were gracious, but there is a little note on the building, yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. Anybody else? All right, let's see if anybody else. Is there anyone here who'd like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here who'd like to speak in opposition to this application?
Just see a show of hands on people in favor, too? Just because.
If you're in favor, please raise your hand.
All right. Okay, it looked like 13 to me. Yeah, thanks. Just
sure,
we'll have that in a minute.
You should come up and give me your name and your address, and then you have
I'm John floor. Starr. I live at 12903 Union Street Extended.
Mm-hmm.
Would Mr. Whitehouse put back up that picture with the houses and the property, the green and that one? Yes. May I?
Yes,
please. This is the property in question. This is where I live. These three houses are in opposition. This whole park had no idea. Not even one. There's two that might have heard a rumor that this was coming. As far as I know.
Can you come back to the, if you're finished pointing out, you come back to the microphone?
As far as I know, these two properties, or three properties, never got notification that there was even going to be this meeting, as far as I know, because no one in that development knew about this. Now, the attorney gave a very nice presentation, and there's no one that I know of in this world is against feeding the poor. But we're here to talk about a zoning change. We're here to talk about traffic. We're here to talk about having an entity in a residential area such as a food truck that doesn't belong there, as Mr. Mears pointed out. So my contention is, I would like to ask the attorney a question, if I may.
Just tell me what it is you're
okay. I'd like to know if it is true that they got a $500,000 grant from Sodell.
That's irrelevant to the application.
No, not exactly. My point is, if it is true, they bought that house for $240,000. So they have with some of their improvements, they probably got, I'll say, $250,000 left over. What's stopping them from finding a country road like Reynolds Road where the church is, which is approximately a mile and a half outside of town? This site is 1 mile outside of town. Mm-hmm. As far as development goes, there is no proposed development on the north side of Milton. The last development was further to the north, Sunland Ranch, and that's been there probably 10 years. That's the last development coming. So what's to stop them from taking this leftover money and purchasing a property, or even if they get grant money from somewhere else, buying an acre or two of land on a side road, because they're already wanting to come out into the country in a residential area to put up a food pantry. Now, they could do this. The sites, they get all these letters from the town of Milton. Well, all of them live in the town of Milton. They don't live out where we live, which the mayor was very nice. I think that's a great thing he did. Now, if none of these volunteers, except for maybe, are you the lady that lives out by us? No, okay. There's one young lady that lives, that's associated with the food pantry, that lives four doors north of that proposed site. Everyone else doesn't live there. They're all volunteers, which is a great thing. But they don't live there. They don't have to contend with the proposed 10 or 12 cars. That's not going to happen. Unless they double lane it. And if they double lane it, that's even longer to get cars through. They propose to put up a pole building to house food. Now, I don't know about planning and zoning. This is my first time ever in this building. But what's to stop them if you grant them this, what is it called?
Conditional use.
Thank you. To do this, what's to stop them, in the words of the attorney, a soup kitchen? What's to stop them from turning that house into a soup kitchen?
Well, that's
the conditions.
A conditional use means that we can put conditions on it, that there are conditions to what they're allowed to do and not allowed to do. So we can mark their hours. We can say, no, there will not be a soup kitchen at this site. This is only for food distribution. So we can do, and if they go against that, if they break the rules of their condition, the conditions, then they can have their conditional use revoked.
Okay. So when would you do that? After you approve it?
No, that would be part of the approval.
No, yeah.
Okay,
when you heard people reading things tonight, they gave conditions of what.
So is the guy across the street, would this be part of your plan if you did in fact approve this? I'm just asking questions because I don't know. Like I said, I'm real ignorant.
What was the question?
What is he wanting?
The question is, if you approve it, will you say at that point, all you can do is distribute food?
Yes, they've already said that's all they want to do.
Yeah. And we would give.
That's what they said they want to do.
No, but we would make that part.
What do you say? The conditions that we would put in there.
Yes.
Okay.
Along with other things as well.
Right. So what we're looking for from you is
what the other issues are. Mm-hmm. They're saying 1 or 2 days per month. Well, you grant them permission. How many days can they do? Can they do?
Well, I think they said they want it once. They would like to try to do once a week. They're doing 1 or 2 days a month now.
What's to stop them from going to 5 days a week?
It would be a condition because they're proffering that they want to do 2 days a week. Then we would say, this is part of your condition. You can only do 2 days a week. And between these hours, because they said between 9 and 1.
How would I know this?
Because it would be part of an ordinance, if this is approved, that's adopted by Sussex County Council that has the force of law.
Okay, I understand that, but Where would I get this information before you approve it?
You wouldn't, because nobody would know the information until the commission makes a recommendation and county council approves it.
Okay.
They wouldn't know the conditions either until this commission makes a recommendation
and county council
approves it, if they approve it.
Is the traffic issue. They're saying they can get 10, 12 cars. I don't believe it. But if they do, that's fine. Route 5 is a main thoroughfare. As this young lady spoke about, I heard it mentioned to the other young lady about trying to get out on the highway and getting over here. I'm assuming you live on 24.
No, I live in Lewis.
Okay. Well, again, Route 1 is atrocious. Route 5, which is a main thoroughfare going to Long Neck, Milton, Harbison, outlying areas, as you guys are well aware, are a lot of housing developments. There's a lot of traffic coming off Route 1 heading down Route 5. Now, they contend, well, we're doing it from 10 to 2 or whatever the hours are. Well, there's cars still on that road. And you mentioned about what the speed limit was. Well, I've lived there for 43 years. And I'm telling you, for every one car that's going 50, there's two cars doing 60. I've sat in my living room and watched cars, pass cars. So, all those people, you know, almost 40 people don't want this. I don't understand why you would even consider approving it. I mean, these are residential people living a mile outside of town. There is no commercial entity there now. Why does it have to be here? Why can't they go find a suitable place outside of any residential areas where they could buy an acre or two of ground, find some church member, farmer, or whatever that wants to sell a piece of property, purchase that property, put up their pole building, and have their U-shaped driveway? That's basically what I have to say. You know, there's nothing wrong with their mission, don't get me wrong, but it just doesn't belong in this residential area or any other residential area. There's too many other options. The church, which they mentioned was on 16 and Reynolds Road. Well, Reynolds Road probably gets 50, 100 cars a day, maybe, if that. They're off the side, so they have plenty of area to run cars and run them out. It takes, as they stated, up to 6 minutes to load a car. How many cars are you going to be able to get around there? 12 cars, 10 cars. Well, there's 50 minutes. Suppose they grow. Instead of 40 people, now they have 100 people. I mean, that's why you put up a pole building, right? Because you plan on serving more people. So there's no reason to put it up unless you plan on storing goods. And the house is sitting there storing goods. So it's, you know, he stated that, you know, I had it all wrong, you know, but I'm looking to the future. What's going to happen if you give them this conditional use? You may say they get 2 days. You may say they get 4 days. I don't know. But my contention is whatever days it is, it doesn't belong in our residential area. That's about all I have to say. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
I agree with Mr. Mears, food truck doesn't belong there.
This isn't a food truck. That was a totally different case.
I'm just being a joke. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak in opposition to this? Operator, is there anyone online who'd like to speak in favor of or in opposition of this application? And your address, please.
18545 Monkey Branch Road in Rehoboth Beach.
Thank you, caller. Go ahead.
Hi. I thought that my name is Teresa Ripley. My husband, Kat, and I run a partner nonprofit alongside of Donna in the Milton Food Pantry, and we are trying to help her. And the food pantry addressed the food insecurity issue here in Sussex County, which in 2020, when we started, the national average of families experiencing food insecurity was 1 in 4. one is working, and I could argue that in Sussex County, that number is just growing daily because of inflation that has happened in recent years. And we have contributed meals to Donna since November of 2020, our organization, and so we've seen the different iterations of Milton Food Pantry from Goshen Hall to the Water's Edge, and they need the space to be able to do their mission, and the need for their mission far outweighs the inconveniences to others that there's just food insecurity is a life-threatening illness, if you will, social ill. And we need these organizations locally that help address that in our community. We couldn't conscientiously see people experiencing hunger as Donna and her volunteers can, and leave it unaddressed. So I would implore you to approve their application.
Thank you. Operator, is there anyone else on the line? Thank you. Yeah. Staff, anybody? Commission? Any questions? No,
thank you.
If I could, Madam Chair, on the noticing, I can confirm that those properties to the west were noticed. I don't know if the Commission saw that. We did actually call up the slide on the screen that shows what properties were noticed physically with a physical postcard. Obviously, a site notice was displayed as well, and it was noticed in two newspapers of general circulation, but those parcels to the west did receive a letter, but it would have been addressed to the owner of record. So I haven't checked to see if the owner of record is the same as the physical address of the parcel, but we do send them to the owner of record. So
thank you.
When we say owner of record, that means what's listed in the Sussex County property tax records for assessment purposes.
Thank you.
Okay. Seeing as no other comments, I'm going to close the public hearing. You're invited to stay with us, see if we make a decision tonight, or you can call the office in the morning. Thank you.